In a way, aren't we all Spartacus?
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell on 95BFM.
Up to Steve.
G'day. Movies and That.
How's it going?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
Great day to watch a movie.
Good day to watch a movie. Tomorrow is better. Some new releases and that.
Oh, wow.
Including a five-star film that is playing.
Is that allowed?
Yeah, I think that's, yeah. We've got to ration them.
Otherwise, you run out of stars. Five classic five-star movies.
What?
Like Predator, Terminator 2,
John,
The Life Aquatic.
John, you forgot the words, or else.
We didn't cover this in the pre-interview. Jesus. Apocalypse Now, Freddy Got Fingered, Ghostbusters, Blade Runner.
Predator 1?
Predator.
What about Blade Runner 2?
Not Predator.
Blade Runner 2?
Fuck, we're deep. We're so deep.
Okay.
But just watch Freddy Got Fingered five times is would be my recommendation. If you consider it a one-star movie, if you watch it five times, is it a five-star movie?
Okay.
Thoughts.
Oh, wow.
Well, there's math there.
But we've got heaps to crack on through, so please don't derail me from quickly saying you should see Sorry to Bother You, which is playing at the Academy. However, everyone should drop everything on Sunday because a very special guest is in Auckland for a one-off screening of his film Best Friends, Volume 2. His name's Greg Sestero. You may know him from a modern masterpiece, speaking of five-star films, called The Room, which he co-starred in opposite Tommy Wiseau. Greg's the chap who wrote the book The Disaster Artist, upon which a movie also called The Disaster Artist was based.
It's a beautiful thing. AKA Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
There you go. Feels good every time.
Actually. It does, doesn't it?
Whenever I have to send an email to someone and I have to write the words hi, and it's a mark, and I have to put hi Mark there, I have a little chuckle. So it's a strong film.
Now, The Room, words don't really do The Room justice. I think you've either seen it and know what it's about or not.
It's basically the worst film of all time, so I've heard, because I've not seen it. The worst and the best.
Extremely painful.
You fall squarely in the nut part of that of that category.
Grunty lovemaking scenes that kind of just get more and more grunty.
Bit of body, eh?
Yeah,
a little bit of body.
It's hard out.
You'd think that for some people, having been in a movie like The Room, they might want to just put that in their past and maybe either, if not give up acting,
just forget about it. That was such an epic resurgence. That was a big deal.
Yeah, totally. So, not only has Sestero continued to act, but he made the decision to make another movie with Tommy Wiseau, and it's ended up being two movies, Volume 1 and Volume 2. He was here mid-year to show Part 1 at the Hollywood Avondale, and this Sunday he's back to show Part 2.
Can I just quickly say, if you haven't seen Part 1, they are going to screen it before at the Hollywood on Sunday at 4 o'clock.
Are you getting emails from Hugh Sunday?
I'm just gonna clarify that, because you're spreading if not disinformation, misinformation.
Fake news, you can say it.
4:20 PM.
Oh, sorry, 4:20 PM.
Skadoosh.
If you haven't seen Volume 1, you can see it at 4:20 at the Hollywood.
Apparently, Hugh tells me that time just worked out that way, because he just worked backwards from when it needed to finish, and hey presto, just landed on 4:20.
Universe. Okay. Universe, man.
Universe, indeed. I chatted to Greg the other day, so we've got a little bit of that conversation to play this afternoon. And even though he's here promoting this new film, I think like every other dickhead film journalist interviewer, I wanted to talk about The Room. So we started off by asking him what it's like to have The Room attached to him and cast such a big shadow over his life.
You know, it's kind of really picked up about 10 years ago almost, when the article first came out that it had this cult following. And so I just really looked at it as like, what does this mean? What is this going to do? And how does this define what I want to do? And I think initially, obviously, it was use it to kind of do some more acting. And then I realized, you know, with the way this movie is, people love to come to interact with it, to laugh at it. And I thought, you know, really, what's special about this is the story behind the film. and the friendship. And so, you know, when I wrote the book, my goal was to really surprise people and give them a story that was, you know, not only funny, but engaging and relatable and inspiring. And so that was kind of the first step to give myself a voice with a disaster artist. And then obviously, you know, with the film being made about it, I think it brought it more into the mainstream. It brought it more kind of more of a sense of quality to what this was, as opposed to kind of this movie shown once a month that people would come laugh at. It gave it, you know, gave it some more universal appeal. And then I think for me, it was just kind of getting back on track to make the movies, you know, that I want to make and do the work that I want to do. You know, I looked at other people that have been in things that started out that were kind of more of a, you know, a goof or a joke or things that weren't taken seriously. You know, you look at like Mark Wahlberg and his rapping career. You know, he went on to do Boogie Nights and went on to do some really great stuff outside of all that. And I think, you know, that's really the goal, is to, you know, I think The Room is something that is a great time, and people really respond to it, and it brings them a lot of happiness. But at the end of the day, it, you know, it is what it is. And I think it's about going out there and making stuff that people respond to, that is evolved and better, and teaming up with people that, you know, do actual good work. So you can still give your fans weird, bizarre films, but in a way that is maybe taking it up a notch. And I think I'm very thankful that The Room gave me a chance to interact with people and to travel, and, you know, now gives me a voice and gives me the possibility to go out and make better films, which is all you can really ask for.
For sure. Did you have to like weigh up the pros and cons of appearing on screen with Tommy again?
I didn't really overthink it. I it's not something I had wanted to do for a long time. And I just kind of, when I got the idea, I was like, if we're going to do it, let's do it right. And I thought this was a chance to for me to take him seriously. You know, he gave me a chance in The Room when I didn't really see much there. And now it was a chance for me to say, hey, let's give Tommy a chance. Let's shoot it seriously. Let's let him be an actor like he's always wanted to be. So I didn't think of how it was going to relate to The Room, or was it going to be like The Room. I just thought, let's try to make the best, most entertaining film we can, and be passionate and be sincere with what we're trying to make. Because if anytime you're going to make something, whether it's going to be terrible or great, you know, you got to take it seriously and you got to give it your all. And that's what we, you know, that's what we tried to do.
I didn't actually ask the question, Greg, what's your bloody movie about? But I'm sort of assuming that if you're interested in seeing Best Friends 2, you've seen the first part. If you haven't, Greg plays a drifter who stumbles across an odd mortician, played by Tommy Wiseau, and the two strike up an unlikely friendship. And then enter into an unlikely business partnership, selling the scrap teeth of dead people for money.
What kind of budget are we mucking around with here? Because has Tommy still got some random bottomless amount of money like he did when they made The Room? Nobody knew where he got his fortune from, and well, it was all a bit shrouded in mystery.
Yeah, look, this in this instance, he's merely being drawn upon for his acting ability. So he's not directing the film. He didn't write it.
Okay.
He didn't bankroll it with his mysterious fashion empire. Family money,
old
vampire
Euros.
Holocaust money,
yeah,
but yeah. So it's the first film. I mean, maybe you're going to go see it at 4:20 on Sunday. Let's just say they've got a friendship and it's a bit fractious and it ends on a bit of a cliffhanger. I did ask Greg though what the inspiration for the film was.
He thought I was going to try to kill him at one point when we went on a road trip, and I thought that was really interesting and really funny at the same time. And I thought, let's explore if I really was going to try to do that, what would happen? And Tommy always has this kind of supernatural feel to him. And I was like, I feel like you could never get away with something like that. And that's what became interesting to me, is the thought of Tommy coming after you or finding a way to teach you a lesson. And I just kind of rolled with that. Within a few days, the whole thing kind of came together.
What was his first set of reactions when you talked to him about doing this project?
I was surprised. I thought he was going to want to take it over. I thought he was going to want to rewrite it. I thought there was going to be a ton of rules. And he just really was very simple. He's like, okay, if you have an idea, let's try to do it. And but he had a very, very interesting request, and it was that he wanted for us to be the same height in the film, which I didn't know exactly why, but when he ended up pulling out these platform heels so he and I were the same height, I thought, what a brilliant idea.
And what an entrance on screen.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. A great entrance.
He's not quite Marilyn Manson, but he is like a little bit of an unsteady giraffe when he gets out of a hearse, and he's got these heels that are just a little bit too stacked. And I think he might have gone and bought them from the shops, like, you know, and not really practiced breaking them in before he let the cameras roll.
These two need each other, obviously, though. Eh? Like, that's the beauty of these films, I think.
It's a very weird codependence. I mean, when you think about Sestero, you know. He's done some other work that's not inadvertent cult garbage.
Right.
But he is, you know, for better or worse, like, synonymous with The Room.
He's like, he looks like Greg, I'm talking about, just looks like he would slay in like a Days of Their Lives kind of situation.
He's so good looking.
He's a great looking American lad.
He glanced
in a Dallas way.
He glanced through the soap world briefly.
Right.
But I think
not challenging enough, for his abilities.
I think this may be his lot now. But, you know, it must be an interesting circuit to be in. We're basically, you know, the fans are so interested in the fact that you were in these films that they want to come check out what you're doing, and you're in a position to take films around the world and, you know, come along to the Hollywood Avondale, for instance, this Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. To show it to people and have a Q&A afterwards.
So you're saying he's right up there in the trash cult cinema game?
Hell yeah.
That's a good folder to be in, isn't it?
Just on that, though, so just let's hammer that home. He's going to be at the screening, and you can have a chat with him if you want.
And there's even going to be Skype questions with Tommy, right?
That's great.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But the Greg side, absolutely.
Far out.
I asked him what people should expect from Volume 2.
I've had a blast doing it because, for me, Volume 2 is the best part of it. I had the most fun making that film. It's based in the desert. I like to say it's like Tommy and Greg do Breaking Bad. And I think, you know, the audiences that have seen it have been really surprised that they're two totally different films. And you know, this film, Volume 2, comes alive in a different way, and I think it's been a pleasant surprise. So it's fun to tour with a film that, you know, you enjoyed making and that you also can watch, because it's one of the first movies I've ever done that I feel like I can watch, which is saying a lot. And I think it's a really fun audience film, so I'm excited to bring it down under. I had a great time when I was in Auckland for Volume 1, and the fans were so gracious, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what they think of this one.
That was a good chat. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Steve, for the interview.
You guys can go hang out with him this Sunday. And, so Best Friends 2, 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Avondale on Sunday. And you can see Volume 1 at 4:20 p.m. Memorable.
With the man himself in tow.
Number one in the trash cult film game.
John, you need to get caught up. You need to watch these movies, mate. You're probably the only one in town that hasn't watched The Room. At least the Disaster Artist. I'm sure a lot of people have watched The Disaster Artist and not watched The Room.
Hugh was like, hey, John, do you want to come out to the Hollywood for a private screening?
You need to stop going over to Hugh's past.
Like,
when it's
what
nighttime.
What the hell is happening?
Thanks, Steve.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95 BFM.